It's time for This Week in WordPress, episode number 352, entitled Fully Embrace the WAPU. It was recorded on Monday the 13th of October, 2025. My name's Nathan Wrigley, and today I am joined by three fabulous guests. I'm joined by Taco Verdonshot, by Steve Burge, and by Mark Benzacane. It is a WordPress podcast. We get a little bit derailed talking about doorbells, and a lot derailed talking about the WordPress mascot, the WAPU. But we also do get into some other things as well. Taco mentions something by Remke Stavris. It's a really easy to follow article on how to diagnose WordPress performance bottlenecks on your website. We also talk a lot about the myriad events that are happening in the WordPress space over the next few weeks. Do you like WordPress navigation in core? Would you like it to be slightly better? Well, the menu designer by Mike McAllister from Ollie, perhaps that's going to be bundled into core in the near future. We'll have to wait and see. What are the best ways to get your repo plugin recognized? Nick Hamsey has an article about that. It's kind of interesting. Taco agrees with some of it, but also disagrees with a variety of other bits and pieces as well. And the other thing which we spend a long time talking about is WordPress Studio and how now you can have blueprint websites in a format which is really easy to send to other people. There's loads more. For example, FluentCart is about to launch as well. And it's all coming up next on This Week in WordPress. This episode of the WP Builds podcast is brought to you by GoDaddy Pro, the home of managed WordPress hosting that includes free domain, SSL, and 24/7 support. Bundle that with the Hub by GoDaddy Pro to unlock more free benefits to manage multiple sites in one place, invoice clients, and get 30% off new purchases. Find out more at go.me/WP Builds. And by Bluehost. Redefine your web hosting experience with Bluehost Cloud, managed WordPress hosting that comes with lightning-fast websites, 100% network uptime, and 24/7 priority support. With Bluehost Cloud, the possibilities are out of this world. Experience it today at bluehost.com/cloud. And by Omnisend. Do you sell your stuff online? Then meet Omnisend. Yes, that Omnisend. The email and SMS tool that helps you make 73 bucks for every dollar spent. The one that's so good, it's almost boring. Hate the excitement of rollercoaster sales? Prefer a steady line going up? Try Omnisend today at omnisend.com. Hello, 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 hello. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you may be in the world. Very nice to have you with us. We're on episode number, I think that's right, 352 of This Week in WordPress. Gosh, that's like almost a year of days, if you know what I mean. How many days are in a year? Oh, no, it's not. 365.
Almost.
Oh, I can't count.
Early next 13 more episodes.
For some reason, I thought it was 356 days in a year, which it really isn't. Thank you for joining us. If you're with us in the chat, that's really great. We'll get to you guys in a moment. I really appreciate your presence. But let's go around the panel that we've got today. So first of all, over there on my, I don't know whether that's right or left. I'm going to say right. It's the other right. It's Taco Verdonshot. How are you doing, Taco?
I'm good. Thanks for having me again.
Yeah, you're so welcome. It's always, Taco's been very kind. I've been a bit rubbish with the making the show notes for this week, and he was very kind in coming in, stepping in and helping me out. So I really appreciate that, Taco. Thank you so much. Here's Taco's bio. Taco is the CCO at Progress Planner, a plugin that helps you maintain your website by rewarding you for completing important 5-minute tasks on the site. He's also active in the WordPress community team, WordPress Accessibility Day organizer, more about that in a minute. WP Meetup, I'm going to try it, Nijmegen.
Yay! Well done.
Organizer and regular volunteer at his kid's school. Oh, I want to come back to that. He and his family live in, Vichen.
Wiken, yes.
Oh, okay, Wiken, yeah, like you said, Wiken, which is in the Netherlands, and today he changed his doorbell to How did you?
To sound like the Super Mario theme. Okay, so I have two questions. The first one is, what's going on there? Why did you do that?
So the software of our doorbell recently got an update, and they had these very grandpa, grandma-style ding-dong sound as a default. And my wife and I really didn't like it, so I started looking into, can I change this? Yeah. And then I learned I can upload any MP3. And now we have Super Mario as our doorbell.
Oh, that's exciting. I mean, it was kind of funny. As soon as you said the software for my doorbell, I was thinking, we have come on, haven't we? We're no longer cavemen anymore. I have a door knocker.
I have a curiosity about doorbells, and it has to do with dogs. How is it that a dog, no matter what kind of doorbell you have, they can hear a doorbell on the TV and they go nuts, and it's not the same doorbell that you have? How do dogs just inherently know the sound of a doorbell?
Yeah, they are keeping that close to their chest. That is one of the secrets that they're just not telling us. So that was the first question. Firstly, bravo. I think I'd put some like really screamy death metal music on it just to really freak everybody out.
Almost Halloween, so I'll definitely have some fun with this.
Yeah, that's nice. Yeah. Okay, the next thing is, what do you do at your kid's school? That's lovely.
Yeah. So this is where we're going to run into English not being my first language.
Okay.
But there's a body within the school where teachers and parents get to advise the school leadership.
Okay, we call it PTA, Parent Teacher Association.
I'll take it. Probably that. Yeah. Yep. Medezeggenschapsraad in
That exactly. That's what I was thinking.
And so that is at school level, but my kid's school is in a group of 17 schools.
Yep.
And so there's another of those associations for the whole group, and that's where I'm in.
Okay. Okay. Oh, well, good for you doing your thing. I was reading something the other day which really caught me short, and it was about the fact that we do so much online and we put so much stock in what people out there on the internet are doing that it would seem that a lot of us have kind of forgotten the stuff going on in the world just outside of our doorstep. You know, we're far more worried about the state of, I don't know, politics, which we don't have much control over, whereas the primary school just down the road, you kind of do. But it's easy to forget that all of that's out there.
And so, I mean, it goes for schools, but also for sports clubs, etc. Yeah. They have a harder time finding volunteers every year.
Yeah.
There's plenty of opportunity to, instead of correcting someone on the internet who's wrong, to help out locally. So,
last time I went to watch a game with my children in it, I was stood on the sideline watching the game, and I just looked around, and virtually every parent was staring at the phone. It's like, wait, your kids are literally there. What the heck is the message? Anyway, bravo. Thank you so much, and appreciate it. So next up, just there, is Mark Benzacane. Hello, Mark. How are you doing?
Hello. How are you?
Mark does not live in a box, despite the fact that it always kind of looks like he does.
I think inside the box.
Oh, I like it. Oh, yeah. Very good. Yeah. Very good. Yeah. Good. Touché. Yeah. Mark Benzacane, this is his bio. He hails from the great state of California, otherwise known as the third worst time zone in the world. It is for this show, but just about everything else, it's not, where he acts as the marketing and partnerships lead for MainWP. He also hosts a podcast, which he swears is going live any day now, where he speaks with people about failure and how it impacted and shaped their lives. Cool idea for a podcast. I love that. That kind of every cloud has a silver lining kind of idea, I guess.
That's not always the idea, but yeah,
no,
that's
just a clap.
Yeah, it's just talking about failure.
It's just about the cloud.
How to succeed in failing. I love it. Okay, so there's two of our guests, and the third one, Steve Burge over there. Now, Steve really went to town on the bio this week, and frankly, there's a lot. So I'm just going to try and say it in one breath. Here we go. Publishpress.com founder.
Well, there's a lot of stuff in the show notes. You've got 90 minutes. You need to move quickly. Nice. So.
I like it. Anyway, thank you, Steve, for joining us as well. How's it going?
Oh, great. It, uh, Mark, it's 6 a.m. with you?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Ouch.
I have no idea what the heck you're doing.
Everyone works. I have actually had meetings with people in Pakistan that I've had to be here at 2 o'clock in the morning. And it's just like ridiculous.
Yeah, that is kind of ridiculous. We also have the comments, though. So if you're watching this, feel free to make a comment. I'll just mention the URL, which is probably the best one to do. This one. Go to wpbuilds.com/live. Send your friends, relations, enemies even. To that URL, and you can join in the comments. If you are looking at it on a desktop, there's a box on the right with comments in. You have to be logged into Google. Ah, Taco, now, how did you... My brain couldn't parse the whole left-right thing in the time that you did. That was great. And if you're on a desktop, it's below. I can do that. Sorry, if you're on a mobile, it's below. If you don't want to use YouTube comments because you don't like Google or you don't have a Google account, there's a little box inside the video window. It says live chat. Just click that and you can do that. There we go, wpbuilds.com/live. And we really appreciate it when comments come in. It kind of keeps the show going. So there's a few coming in. First one is Elliot, just down the road from me in Brid. Hello, Elliot. We're also joined by Dave Gray. He's often on the show. Good afternoon from an overcast Berkshire, UK. You had a break from me, but I'm back. He's back in the comments. Really appreciate it. Ali is here. It's been some time. Hi there. Hello. Nice to have you back. Tammy Lister joining us. Good morning. Have you tried turning it off and on again? What were we talking about? Oh, the doorbell, I'm guessing. Maybe. Was that what you were on about at the time?
No, I think
probably about the
medical.
Oh, yeah.
Not sure.
Yeah, not sure.
Also, turning something on and off again never works.
It always works.
No.
You're not turning it off right.
So you have to turn it off and then back on again. But if you turn it on and off, then it's not going to do anything because it will be off.
Honestly, it...
Unless it has like two on settings.
Yeah.
You know, there might be on still, and then on.
But the last thing here is turn it off. Then it doesn't work.
Oh, I see. Oh, she's got it round. Oh, I see what you can turn it on and off again. Yeah, okay, if you turn it off. Okay, I get you now. I'm sorry.
It works if you want to watch your kids playing football.
Yeah. Correct. Right, okay, a couple of things. Hello, Vladimir. Nice to have you with us. And also, Mark, hello. Lovely, lovely to have you with us. And they don't go nuts depending on dog. Mine doesn't. I had a dog when I was growing up. This is true, right? Total segue, but we'll get to the show in a minute. We had a relative, and my dog, there were two people in the world it would go nuts for, like nuts. And it was this woman and my mother. If this woman came into our lives, like, and she lived in Ireland, like miles away, my dog knew when she was coming. Like, I'm 10 miles out, my dog would start going absolutely nuts for no reason. And I don't get that.
In a good way or?
Yeah, no, just like barking and like visibly different from every other scenario in life. And it would behave absolutely consistently in this way whenever this person was showing up. And it really would be about 10 minutes out, my dog would start behaving in this utterly erratic way. And I have no explanation for that other than that dogs have some voodoo going on that we don't understand. And that... I mean, obviously, you know, they've got the whole doorbell thing down. And they can also, you know, figure stuff like that out. Anyway, there we go. Strong perfume. I mean, oh, boy, that would have to be really, really strong. Okay, right. Here we go. Let's get stuck into what we're doing today. So here is our website. This is us, wpbuilds.com. If you want to keep in touch with what we do, stick your email address into that box and we'll send you a couple of emails each week. We have a Black Friday page, which is going on at the moment. I just launched very recently. And I think at the moment, I think we've already got about 60 plus deals on there. So if you've got a deal in the WordPress space and you want to be featured on our Black Friday page, it's totally free. You know, you don't have to do anything apart from click on this button here, click add a deal, and then you fill out the form. And if you are a WordPress, I got something about socks the other day. Some company decided they wanted to advertise their socks. Needless to say, that's not going on this webpage. But if you have a WordPress thing, feel free, fill it out, and we'll promote you in the run-up to Black Friday. And if, like WS Form, the blessed Mark Westgard, if you want Pride of Place, we've got some advertising spots as well, which you can make use of. But that's there. You can find that wpbuilds.com/black. Okay, and it'll become increasingly interesting as time goes on. Usually we get about 400 deals on there, and you can search and filter to your heart's content over there. Right. Next one is WP Accessibility Day is just around the corner. Amber is involved, but this is not about that. We'll do that in a minute. I had an in-depth conversation with Amber Hines because she recently did a survey where she went through page builders and block tools and things like that in terms of their accessibility credentials. And there was a winner. I'll keep that to myself. You can find that by looking at the article. But just to let you know that was the most recent episode that I did with Amber. Okie dokie. And final one, the very, very cool Bod Krause was on the Tavern podcast this week. Bod, if you've not met Bod, he's a New Yorker. He's irascible, let's say that, and such an interesting guy. But you may not know about Bod that he suffers from macular degeneration, which means the very center of his eyesight is blurred, so he has to use his peripheral vision. And he talks about how he consumes the web and how he works in the WordPress space, given that condition that he had. And it's really interesting, really, really interesting. So go and have a listen to that. Okay, on to the guests get a chance to submit some content if they wish to before the show starts. And Taco's availed himself of that opportunity. However, he's not promoting any of his own stuff. It's Remkes. Tell us more, Taco.
Yes. So... Remkes did quite a long write-up on how to diagnose WordPress performance bottlenecks. And it's really a step-by-step guide that you can just follow if you want to do your own research and check problems on your own site. And he lists a bunch of tools, and it is super helpful. It's very detailed. Even if you're not a very technical person, but you do realize that site speed is important, which, spoiler alert, it is. Go read this article. Go test your own website and find out what performance bottlenecks exist for your site and then fix them.
Nice. I have to say, like, when it comes to security and performance, those are two areas which for some reason never landed with me. I never learned much about them. So having people like Remkes and Tim, I guess, would be a candidate in the security space who are able to unpack that. Even if it's just suggestions, you may not do anything with it, but writing stuff like that up in a non-techie way so that somebody like me, or maybe you, Taco, can consume it. That's really
nice. Very similar. I'm also not a developer, and I really like this because it's written in a way that anyone can understand.
Okay, so I will put all of the links in the show notes, but obviously if you're looking at this, you can see it, but if not, I'll read it into the record. How I Diagnose WordPress Performance Bottlenecks is the name of that article. So I suspect if you Google that and then combine it with the word Remkes, you'll probably find it. Steve, Mark, anything on that, or shall I press on?
I just have a great deal of respect for Remkes. I did an interview with him for Main WP, actually talking about performance, and I learned stuff just in that interview. It's like he's a great guy to get information from, and he knows his stuff. So I highly recommend this article. I read it last week, and I was like, wow, this is... Even I can understand this.
Yeah, that's kind of it.
Yeah,
I'm with you. Steve, anything, or shall I move on? Okay, I will move on in that case. Okay, so the controversy, which is going to dominate this conversation. So I'm hoping that people in the comments are going to fully back us up here. This piece came out. It was After Active is the website. It's After Active.com. I'm just going to scroll quickly to the bottom to see if it's got an article name, like an author anywhere. I don't see it. Maybe somebody here knows who actually wrote this one. But they wrote a piece which was entitled AswAPU Outlived Its Usefulness, a critique of WordPress's mascot and community decay. Gosh, incendiary stuff. I mean, I'll take the community decay anytime, but you criticize WAPU? What the heck? And they make the point, to be fair to them, I think a lot of the points are kind of interesting. They're coming at it sort of from an enterprise level, and they're making the point that they're trying to make the point that this mascot that we've got in the WordPress space, this WAPU thing, kind of doesn't belong. You know, if you enter the offices of a Fortune 500 company and you're trying to, trying to pitch for a WordPress website, he's kind of basically saying WAPU is not going to be something that you're going to put on the documentation. You're not going to lean into any of that. But there's a lot more to it. You know, he goes into why we use it, what the history is, why do people like it and what have you, and then does this kind of breakdown of why he strongly recommends that we get rid of it. There's a whole thing here. You can read it, and maybe at the end of it, you'll have a strong opinion about it. Certainly some other people did. So for example, Iconic, the website Iconic, which is run by Nick Hamzay, making all the waves in the WordPress space at the moment, he comes back saying, basically, screw you. We love our WAPUs. And then makes the really strong case, I think, for why WordPress is actually all the better for it. And the biggest win, I think, in this article was the comparisons. So he makes the case, for example, that if you look at the, PHP space, they have their elephant logo, right? Yep. If you go to the Drupal space, they've got this curious little drop icon, which has got some sunglasses. It's very cartoonish. If you go to GitHub, there's kind of like, what is that? I'm going to say like a cat. Octopus-y cat kind of thing. Yeah, something like that. And then what else was there? There was a couple of others.
The penguin.
Oh, of course, Linux, the penguin. Yep. I mean, Tux, yeah? And so his argument is, well, if these people are doing it and they're successful with it, why the heck not? Now, there's this article by Nick, which I suggest you read, because that seems to me the best distillation of the arguments. But it wasn't the only one. I don't think I've ever seen an angry WAPU. But there it is. Who wrote this again, Taco?
This is Chris Reynolds.
Chris Reynolds from Pantheon. Yep. At jazzsequence.com. He wrote another different defense of the same thing, but basically the same, saying that, you know, at Pantheon, they kind of lean into it. They've done a few bits of video content and other bits of content where they've kind of leaned into it. And so, you know, it's fine. And so I just wondered what the panelists' thoughts were. So let's just take it like this. You know, the article, the original piece is basically, it's a bit toyish. It's a bit sort of gimmicky. And then the counter argument is, well, firstly, who cares if it's gimmicky? But they're actually making the point, not just to forgive the gimmick, they're making the point that no, this actually is a credible thing. It's not just, okay, ignore that it's a gimmick. It's more like, no, this is actually beneficial to the community. So I'm just going to leave that open. I haven't got the post on the screen, and I forgot to find it, Taco. Sorry, but Taco sent me a link to an X post, so Twitter post, in which Matt Mullenweg, can you just paraphrase? What did he say? I can't remember.
Yeah, so basically Matt also responded to this whole conversation that happened on X and said, maybe it's time to draw WAPU into WordPress itself and give it a home on .org. To which my response was, hey, it already has a home. That's yes. WAPU.us. But I mean, I think that Nick's right here, Nick Hamzay, is that we should embrace WAPU. And I know that my colleague Joost de Valk and Remkes don't like to hear that because they're not big fans. But it is an identity. It's something that it's a personification, something, someone you can identify with, that has emotions, that has all the outfits. And the original article says this is not suitable for enterprise. And my response to that is, when ever did we see large enterprise companies with real branding, with a real personality? That's the thing that dies first. Yeah. When you get into enterprise level things, it's the whole emotion. It's the like factor that you lose. So if it's not a great fit for enterprise, then we probably have to fix the enterprise businesses and not WAPU.
I love this bit on the After Active where he says, what does WAPU do? Absolutely nothing. Nothing. It doesn't boost SEO. It doesn't compress images. It doesn't have a block editor opinion. It just sits there hugging itself. Yeah, but I guess you'd say, well, what do cartoons do? You know, what do films do? What does art do? It just kind of sits there and, you know, for some people it pushes their buttons. And ironically, whoever posted this, I think you've actually probably inadvertently promoted the use of WAPU across the community. Without this piece, I don't think any of this would have happened. Would have been just the same this week as it was last week. Okay, thank you, Taco, for your thoughts. So over to Steve and Mark, if they've got anything.
Did you guys see what they did with the Duolingo bird?
No, go on.
Oh, so they killed it.
Oh.
After... It was their logo for however many years since launch. And they gave it a whole like epic saga that the bird, I think it was died or murdered. And like there was a whole story about what happened to this bird. And everyone got mad about the fact they killed it and then they brought it back and they got some good engagement through it. So maybe it's WAPU's time to die and then come back again.
Okay. Yeah, like a phoenix rising from the ashes. That's brilliant. Interesting. Yeah. Do you know what, though? Because I think at some level, like something like Duolingo, because it had that app icon and that was the icon, right? The Duolingo thing was the bird. In my head, that was the total association with that app. I've never installed it, so I don't have a relationship with the content of the actual app itself. But that was what I thought it was. That was the bit in my head. If I saw that, I would go, okay, that's Duolingo. And all, you know, we have this W logo, which I guess is the WordPress thing. But equally, I think for some people, this sort of more fun caricature thing is kind of interesting. So anyway, Mark, have you got anything?
Well, I mean, I look at it from the perspective of there's a difference between the logo and a mascot, right? And the WAPU is the mascot. And you don't want to use it for enterprise? Fine, don't use it for enterprise. You still have the WordPress logo, which is very professional and traditional and all that stuff. But I think that getting rid of the WAPU, I think that Taco brings up this really important part, which is people are always looking for something to connect to something at a human level. And that WAPU brings that human connection that we all, you know, secretly crave or maybe not so secretly crave in order to build loyalty and connection and long-term effect. So I from a purely practical on the surface level, like you said, Nathan, it serves no purpose. And like it was stated in the article. However, on an intangible level, like art, like cartoons, like all these things that we need in order to have that human experience, which is really important, the WAPU fills that gap. So I've never thought the WAPU was cute. I know I'm being unpopular here. I've never looked at the WAPU and said, oh my goodness, I gotta have 50 stuffed WAPUs on my shelf at home and I gotta bring one home to my kids every time I go to a WordCamp. I did when we had ServerPress, we did have Michelle Schulp designed a nice WAPU sticker for us that, you know, that had the ServerPress logo and that was great. But I've never really fully embraced the WAPU at that level, but I certainly understand the need for it and why people like it and why people are attracted to it and it brings that connection which does go to the whole point that a lot of us are in WordPress, which is the community aspect of it. And I think the WAPU bridges that gap between this kind of stuffy, stodgy, corporate-y kind of thing and the humanity side of things. So
I think that's Mark, really interesting. Sorry,
who was that? There goes my light. Go ahead, keep going.
That was literally at the end of what you said as well. That's kind of perfect. Yeah. Did somebody want to reply to that? I think somebody was just about Steve, to say something. Yeah.
I actually had a funny story for Mark, but now he's gone.
No, I'm here.
He listened. I hear you.
It's that time of the year where it gets dark early and this studio is motion detected.
Oh, I see.
And the motion detector is not in this studio. It's actually outside in the other room. So I have to go there and dance.
Oh, okay.
And come back and sort of bring the light back on.
Next time that happens, can we watch that?
I'll get one of those cameras that follows me. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. Sorry, Steve. We interrupted. Were you going to say something?
Oh, yeah. Well, I had a story for Mark. I've got two teenage daughters. Well, they're teenage now, but they know ServerPress because I would go to WordCamps and come back with stickers. And one of them had a ServerPress sticker with WAPU on one of their laptops.
Yeah.
I guess me and you are not the target audience for the WAPU necessarily.
Maybe not.
I actually still have one of those stickers on one of my old laptops as well. It's one of the few. I actually have some ServerPress stickers still on a few things, and that is one of the ones that I kept because Michelle's a close personal friend and because she did such a great job on that sticker. So,
Nice. Yeah. So we have a contender for the title of this particular episode. It's what Mark just said, and it was Fully Embrace the WAPU. That at the moment is the leading contender for the episode name. However, it could easily be derailed by this. Michelle just is just a hashtag justice for WAPU, and then straight off the back of that, Tammy's in leave WAPU alone. It's another hashtag. Okay, so let's move on. This every week there's one thing which gets more comments than anything else. I feel like we've got the one for this week. So here we go. Mark Wilkinson. I feel like I'm supposed to lie. I suppose that was like
yeah, you corrected WAPU, that later.
But to be honest, I'm not a fan. No, I get it. I totally get it. And for all the reasons, the thing is, it's kind of like, you don't have to engage with it in any way. You don't have to do anything with it if you don't wish to.
No.
For those that do. And Tammy says exactly that. Then don't use it. The community isn't a mascot. It can be used or not. And Tammy goes on to say, all I felt was WAPU did something to them. Well, I don't quite understand that one.
About the initial post. So,
what did WAPU do to him as a child?
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Yeah. Nameless person on the internet from that website.
Or her. It might be, or she or they,
Mark's putting himself, though, into the it doesn't matter if you use it, but basket, though. He says, am I bothered that it's used? No. So there you go. Dave says, people need something to put on the stickers at WordCamps. There you go. If it's just that, maybe that serves its purpose. Tammy's back. Also, culturally, East Japan, which is how the logo came about. Characters are important. We can't just judge our culture and should not. You know, that's really interesting. I feel like that part of the world is very much more into that kind of iconography than we are. Over here, it's a bit of fun, isn't it? But maybe it has more cultural depth and importance over there. Michelle, you see, there's lots of comments about the WAPU.
An anime comic with WAPU.
Yes, yeah. Get ChatGPT on it. I feel that we could have a video from whatever it's called, Sora or something like that as well. Michelle says, you can pry WAPU out of my cold, dead hands. I actually enjoy the fun of it, but recognize it might not be for everyone.
That's because not everyone is fun, Michelle. No. That's the thing.
That's right. Yeah, indeed. No, we just don't use WAPU in enterprise, which is fine. Yes, exactly. I think that's about it. Although Dave does,
Gordon, yeah,
Dave's back. He does want to see a dance from Mark as he goes out into the corridor.
No, you don't.
Yeah, he does. He said it.
No, it would be the most. It would be the most cringeworthy thing ever.
So much fun for the rest of us.
my kids would disown me.
Yeah, I know this feeling. And then Courtney, hello, Courtney. She's replying to Mark. Any thoughts on PHP Ellie for Hans? Probably a similar thought. I would have thought. Anyway, Mark, over to you. So there we go. However, I would just like to point out the one person who is heavily invested in the WAPU is, of course, Marcus Burnett, who last time I was in Portland for WordCamp US just a few weeks ago, he managed to sell me the game Unleash the WAPU. And I'm just going to show you, you know, it can be a little bit more fun if you try. This is a whole game of about, I don't know what's in there, maybe 100 cards or something like that. That's a fairly large amount. And it's a game in which you join forces with your companions around a table and have a game all based around WAPU. And there's absolutely loads of them. So, it does serve a purpose. it gets me and my family to fight each other.
Well, I remember we when we started building Published Press, what, 6-7 years ago, I remember reading from Yoast. There was one of the Yoast members wrote a post about just how seriously they took branding for their plugin, how they were very, very careful about having a very strong Yoast brand that was taken through the website, through the plugin, through just about everything they did. I read that. We ended up doing the Published Press plugins. We have a little penguin mascots, and they appear on just about everything that we do. And that was direct inspiration from the Yoast team. That having a little mascot, having something that people recognize and think is cute. Like, for years, when we had people on our podcast, we'd send them a little cuddly penguin, like a little plushy penguin that we'd get from a charity that supports nonprofits that help ocean health. And so, yeah, I highly recommend it. Keep the WAPU alive. If you have a little mascot for your company.
I think that's a great point because, like, firstly, I'd just like to point out that the whole left-right thing totally derailed you. Then I saw you go for the wrong side of your shirt. It's all it takes to overcome the human brain is just seeing yourself, and it's like left is right and right is left. But the penguin thing, I think I'm right in saying that you've got like three penguins, one at the front and then one on either side, sort of looking out in different directions or something like that.
Yeah, part of the gimmick with our mascot is the penguins always come together.
But that's so easy for me to recognize, right? I just see that little thing in a square and I know it's your thing. And that branding kind of works. Obviously, if you've got a logo which is recognizable, like Yoast has, that they've kind of got that working. Yeah, exactly. You've got like, I want to say chicken. I'm going
with chicken. Yes. It's a Ravi the rooster.
I don't know the difference between a rooster and a chicken, but I'll go with rooster. I think it's great. And I think if WordPress does this, why not? Let's just have a little bit of fun. And it looks like Matt is now taking this on board, maybe wants to make it part of the core platform, which is kind of interesting. I don't really know what that means, but anyway, there you go. Andrew Palmer says he also bought the pack of cards. WAPU for the win. There you go. Yoast did the branding for Birther AI too, for nominal people. Oh, I didn't realize Yoast did that kind of thing. Yes. Maybe they just do it for
okay. Now, I have to show off a little bit, Nathan, because the team that is behind the original Yoast branding now works at Progress Planner.
What, the people that did all the like the iconography and know, the faces of the...
Oh. Yep. That's Aaron and Maike.
And nice.
They're now colleagues here at Progress Planner.
Oh, very nice. Okay, so thank you for that.
I think of Andrew's work with Bertha. I immediately have, he's got a little purple
little robot. Yeah.
That pops in my mind.
Yep. It's exactly the same thing, right? It's brand recognition. And for those people, I can well understand how you wouldn't walk into like enterprise. You're not going to go to, you know, you're pitching Deloitte, a website. It's not going to be part of the materials, is it? But if you're doing something a little bit different, why the heck not? Actually, do you know what? I say those words. And as the words come out of my mouth, I think, why wouldn't it be? Why wouldn't you emphasize the sort of more community side of the project? Anyway, there you go.
I guess my question is, if you're looking for a solution, aren't you looking for the solution and not really, would you say, oh, they've got that stupid little logo, so forget it?
Yeah,
I mean,
right. Well, the original article makes that point. They say exactly that. That you, it would put you off, whereas I'm not so sure.
But it is the other way around, because at some point you're going to recognize the logo after seeing it several times, and whenever you need a solution, you go, "Oh, that was the people with the penguins."
Yeah. Okay, let's move on. There we go. We've done our WAPU bits and pieces for this week, I think. But thank you, appreciate that. So you kicked up a hornet's nest after Active. And I'm not sure it ended up the way that you were anticipating. Right. Okay. This is very, very interesting. I mean, profoundly interesting. I really am curious to see how this goes. So we're looking at a GitHub issue. It's Mike McAllister. And I don't know if you know Mike, but Mike has a theme called Ollie. He has a pro version of Ollie, so it's a way, you know, he's able to monetize that theme. But in the more recent past, I want to say like 2 weeks ago or something, he released a plugin called Ollie's Menu Designer. I don't think there's any reliance upon any paid product. I believe Ollie's Menu Designer is in the repo, so it's totally free. I think you get all the features. But it's been suggested that it's such a profoundly good solution that it get Core to have a look at it and see if it could become part of the core offering for WordPress. Certainly, the WordPress navigation system that we've got at the minute is, you know, it's like, it's what it is.
A little dated?
It's just feature poor, isn't it? There's not much in terms of features. So if you want to do a basic menu, you're good. If you want to do interesting, novel stuff like Mike's plugin allows, then that's possible. So it would appear that this is gaining some traction, and a repo has been opened whereby I believe that core committers are now taking a look at it and obviously working out whether Mike's work it overlaps, whether or not there are gotchas, things that need to be made better, things that need to be stripped out, what have you. Who knows whether this will take off. But again, did I not catch somewhere? Didn't Matt chime in on this as well at some point in Twitter last week? I think Matt Mullenweg also gave it kind of a thumbs up, not like an official thumbs up, but more of a let's take a look kind of thing. But that would be fascinating if in one fell swoop, Mike felt that this was something that he wanted to offer up to the community and the community embraced it. And we have this feature-rich way of doing navigations built into Core. That seems really, really interesting. Any thoughts on that?
So this is, I want to say, the third time I've seen this recently. We had, something in the show notes about the block comments feature that's about to come in WordPress 6.9. I think they're going to call it notes officially.
That's right, but
you're going to have like little Google Doc style comments on Gutenberg blocks. And that was basically dropped in from the team at Multidots, I think, Multicollab. They developed a nice editorial comments solution and basically almost presented it to the core. They had to do some changes, but it was almost a pre-built feature ready to go and drop in there. And then I may be wrong on this, but I think Seth Rubenstein over at the Pew Research Center has done a couple of blocks, maybe like an accordion block and maybe I'm half remembering this, but actually someone doing outside work and basically presenting a feature that is sort of 90% done seems to be happening more often. And certainly the work that the Ollie team have done on this is awesome. It seems like it's polished and ready to go.
Yeah, I guess you get that kind of feedback, don't you? That because with the best will in the world, the getting feedback for Core, I think, is a difficult bit of an uphill struggle. Getting people to engage with that is tricky. Whereas somebody like Mike can put a lot of effort into marketing it. He's really good at kind of like slick videos where he shows off his products. He's got, you know, so he can sort of gather that interest and momentum and then offer it up as he did, or at least, you know, somebody suggested and then he did. I don't know which way around that went. But that seems like a really credible way of putting things into Core. Find something which is really brilliantly done, and then if it's freely available and the author is willing to have it put into Core, then why not? I put that on the notes. The note about notes. This was your block commenting piece. I'll put that into the show notes as well. Yeah, this was the whole notes thing. We covered it a few weeks ago, but I'll add it into the show notes as well for this week. Mark, Taco, anything on this?
I haven't played with the plugin itself yet, but knowing Mike, it's probably very good. And what I'm seeing online is it is very good. So I'm definitely going to have a play and really curious to see what Anne McCarthy and her team will find and if it ends up in Core.
Yeah. Indeed. Nomad Skateboarding, thank you. Just maybe I'm getting the name wrong. He says it's just called Menu Designer. I think on the piece, if you just look at this piece, then right at the top, it's mentioned as being called Ollie's. Ollie's with an apostrophe S. Ollie's menu designer. Yeah, I think you got it right.
But on .org, it is called Ollie Menu Designer.
Oh, okay. So there's maybe some sort of slight confusion there, but maybe it'll just be called Menu Designer going forwards or something like that. And again, thank you. More commentary. There's a really good overview of the pros and the cons of it all, and things to ponder from Anne McCarthy on her blog. That's right. There is. And I'll try and dig that out and link to it in the show notes, but I didn't for this. But Anne talks about pros and cons and what have you. And, you know, there's bound to be a bit of both. Not a direct drop-in, says Tammy. No, maybe not. She says none of that will be direct. However, what it shows is good ideas should be explored, and it's amazing when they are. Yeah. Okay. Mark, anything on that before we press on?
I'm interested to play with it. I actually have a project that I'm about to start on that actually it might be interesting to play with that on.
Nice. Yeah. I think Generate Blocks also came out. I think they call it Navigation Menu or something like that. They have a similar thing, but I think it's rolled up into their core Blocks product. So I don't think it's been stripped out, but it does certainly seem that a lot of these third-party vendors, I know Cadence have a similar thing, it seems to be something which a lot of these companies wish to tackle, because most people think that the core offering is slim, to say the least. Daveden, hello, says, I haven't tried the menu designer yet. I've been so used to using page builders. Yeah, I believe that in this case, I think the Cadence one is bound up to the Cadence offering. I think Generate Blocks, their menu thing, is bound to their offering, whereas this menu designer one is not. So I think you could actually use it whilst possibly still using a page builder for creating content. I don't think you'd be tied into it in that way. But anyway, there we go. Certainly very, very interesting. And as if Mike wasn't doing enough with that, he over the last few days released a bunch of additional add-ons, I want to say, like a pro bunch of extensions for his theme. And I'll just mention what you get. If you're using Ollie Pro, there's obviously a free version of that theme, but if you're using Ollie Pro, I believe this is now part of the package that you've bought yourself into. And here are the names of the pro extensions. Hopefully you'll be able to gather what they do from this. So the first one is Advanced Grid Controls. You know, speaks for itself. We certainly could do with some, I don't know, design templating layout, couldn't we? Animation Designer, Keyboard Shortcuts, Advanced Group Controls. So it says with clickable cards and smart sticky positionings. Icon button icons. Ta-da! Yay! We want that because I think 6.9 is actually bringing in things like that as well. And then hover colors for interactive elements. And then there's a bunch more as well. So, I believe you've got to be on the pro tier to make use of those. So, yeah.
It looks like Tammy, who's in the comments, already played with the grid stuff.
Okay.
Because she left a comment.
Oh, I guess that was an emoji when it first left her keyboard, but it's ended up as chef kiss. The grid stuff is, I'm guessing, something along those lines. Oh, good. Good to hear. Honestly, the whole grid thing in WordPress core is kind of an interesting idea, but okay, I'll have a play. I think that sounds good. Anybody else on Ollie, or should we move on?
Okay. I hope that Mike keeps building things because all of them are good.
Yeah, indeed. Okay, right, let's move on to this one. So we already featured Nick Hamsey. Nick Hamsey, honestly, I don't know what's got into his drinks, but he's like, yes, just like can't get himself away from creating really interesting to read content. Honestly, this is fascinating. I have yet to encounter a single human being, an actual human being, who for a period of a month has managed to produce engaging content reliably. Like, it's normal for somebody to do like one or two over the period of a month, but for him, he just keeps knocking them out of the park. And maybe that's just me. Maybe I just like what he's saying. But he's managed to figure out things which are profoundly interesting in the WordPress space and then talk about them. Whether he's got the answers or not, we'll find out in a moment. So this one is his take on why on earth you, as a new plugin creator, putting your plugin on WordPress.org, why it's very difficult to get over the boundary of the first 10 installs. And genuinely, honestly, I've been using WordPress for more than a decade, and I didn't know any of what is in this article. Taco can enlighten us a bit more in a minute, because I think you did. But he's basically saying that as a plugin developer, very, very hard to gain some traction. If you put your plugin in the repo, there is a whole set of rules as to how that plugin is going to be surfaced. So if somebody types something into the search box, how your plugin is going to surface. And unlike Google, where nobody has a clue how that whole system works, well, people have intuitions, but they don't know. WordPress is not the same. WordPress, you know what the algorithm is, and he's written it down. it's a bunch of maths, and I'm not going to try and understand it. But basically, he's listed out all the things that you can do. It's kind of like, he's, the way he sells it is a little bit like a panacea, you know, do these things and they will come. I'm not sure that that's kind of the reality. But nevertheless, if you don't do these things, they certainly won't be discovering you. So, for example, did you know, for example, these are the things that you need to have in your README file, your plugin title. This is the thing which matters way more than anything else. If it doesn't in the title of your plugin say what the plugin does, you've given yourself a bit of a, you know, you've given yourself a bit of an uphill struggle. There's an excerpt, full description, tags, plugin slug, author's name, contributor names, that kind of thing, all matters. But the thing which matters most by a long, long way is the name, apparently. And then you can read the ranking and figure out how it all works. And did you know, for example, that if you have no reviews, the repo actually regards you as having 2.5 stars, which I never knew. I thought that was kind of curious. Anyway, go and read it. If you're a plugin author and you're thinking about going into the repo and you want to make sure that you've at least tried your best to be discoverable, this seems really interesting. But I know, Taco, you had thoughts.
Yeah, so Nick writes this as if as long as you follow these rules, it's going to be so much easier to get past that first bunch of installs, get to a couple hundred, grow to 1,000. You know, all you have to do is just write the right description. Now, I'm not saying that we've written the perfect description for our plugins, but I can tell you that it's not as easy as just do a few things and you will get thousands of installs. Looking at the plugins that we built with Progress Planner, it's really, really hard to get installs. So yes, all of this is important and it's good to know and it helps you, but it's not the magic trick to being a million installs plugin.
Must be kind of interesting for you, specifically you, because you've come from, I don't know how long ago it was, let's say it was 6 months or so, you hung up your hat over at Yoast, which had that, like, all the traction in the world on .org. You know, it's in the top two or three plugins installed across the globe, and started out early, was the, I believe it was probably one of the first SEO plugins, if not the first SEO plugin, I don't really know. But you had all that traction and organic stuff going on, and now you've got this new venture, Progress Planner, and so you've seen it from both ends, you know, the enormous success, how .org kind of will probably make it easier than ever for Yoast to be discovered, and now you're finding out from the other side how, I guess I want to use the word dispiriting, can be, you know.
Yes, well, it's definitely more challenging than I anticipated. And part of that is probably because I was used to, if you organize a webinar, there will be 500 people joining you live because, you know, they know you, they follow you on social media. That's easy enough. Turns out that is not the case.
No.
And so it's much harder than I anticipated when I left Yoast, which is almost a year ago already.
Yeah, wow. Okay.
And joined Progress Planner. I mean, when I joined, it was on.org at 100 plus installs. And now 9 months later, we're at 10 months later almost, we're at 200 plus installs.
Right.
So it's really hard work to get some traction. And then, of course, it depends on the plugin. And what you do and the problems you solve and all of that. But just getting the word out, getting people to know your brand is hard.
It comes to have a mascot.
Yeah, he's got a turkey. No, rooster. No. A turkey.
And Nathan, you just launched a podcasting product, right?
Kinda, but not kinda. Did you put it on the repo? No, it's not going to be going on the repo, and we haven't quite launched it. We launched it in a sort of beta version, and then we got some feedback, and we're probably, I don't know, we keep saying we're always about 2 weeks away from finally launching it. We've been at 2 weeks for about, I don't know, about 3 months or something like that.
The infamous 2 weeks.
Yeah, yeah. But we won't have this puzzle. We'll have the whole Google puzzle, you know, that kind of thing. So we'll be facing a different challenge. Yeah.
Do you mind me asking why? Why would you not try and tackle this challenge and put it on the repo, even for a listing?
We don't have a free version. Basically, there's crucial stuff, which is it. How to describe it? There's stuff in it which we can't make it a lesser thing. So there's no possibility to make it into a sort of free version. That there would literally be no point to it, if you know what I mean. The secret sauce, if you like, is locked up behind this one feature, and that one feature is the thing that we're hoping to monetize off the back of it. So that's basically why. But yeah, we'll have to wait and see how it works. Okay, right, we've got a few comments around that. So firstly, Daveden says that iconic, Nick Hamsey, he's been inspired. Lots of posts popping up. Yeah, it'd be interesting to see if he keeps it going in that way. Marketing and collaborators are needed to boost installs. No kidding. You know, you've got to get yourself out somehow.
Yeah, we need to have a conversation, Dave.
Yeah, Dave.
Yeah.
Dave, meet Taco. Taco, you probably met at WPLDN the other week, did you?
Yeah. Yeah, we did.
Oh, nice. Yeah, Dave makes some great content. I'm sure he...
Yeah, there are... there's one or two companies, including the Astra team, launching their Shure products, who have the marketing and collaboration down to a fine art. They're able to put some of their new products onto like 50, 60,000 installs within a couple of months or so.
Yeah.
Between having Facebook groups and cross-promoting with other products. Maybe if Taco had launched Progress Planner with Yoast, kind of piggybacking off Yoast, that's the way to grow installs faster.
I would love that. And we're in conversations, but let's just say that I'm not stalling those conversations.
Okay. We'll see. We'll wait and see. You heard it here first. See if anything comes of that. Okay, word of mouth. Marketing is quite hard to trace or attribute to readmes. Yeah, fair. Oh, yeah. Thank you, Courtney. And Mark says, plugin marketing is infinitely harder than writing the plugins themselves. Do you know what? I would beg to disagree. I couldn't write a plugin if I gave it 10 years, I wouldn't be able to do it. But
you did
right.
A couple of weeks ago, Nick.
Well, no, I didn't. I'm collaborating.
Yes, you did. So, well, no, you wrote a plugin a couple of weeks
Telex,
ago.
Oh, with Telex?
Yes.
Yes, okay. I kind of don't view that as mine. I sort of view that as belonging to the LLM. But it's interesting, Mark. So my experience is entirely the opposite. You know, marketing is much more my thing. Or at least talking about things is much more my thing, whereas I don't have the capacity to write it, but you, a developer, have the opposite experience. Launch it, as it will never be ready for launch. It's so close. It's so very close. I promise you, it's really close. And you should try it. I think if you actually did try it, it might be something that you wanted to make use of. All assuming that install growth is what you want and benefit your monetized product. Yeah, okay. Yeah, fair enough. Thank you, Mark, for your comments.
If you care about the active installs, we made one big mistake when we launched, which was to make the pro version a replacement for the free version. And I think if I remember, Yoast actually made some kind of a change about this. Yep. That you had the free version required and the pro version was an add-on. We've considered doing that because basically every time we upsell someone from the free version to the pro version, they uninstall our free version, our active installs go down, and that's less than ideal. So,
oh, I see what you mean. Okay, so in the scenario you're talking about, every single pro version is adding to the free version statistics. So even if somebody never finds you on .org, if they find you organically and realize they want the pro version right off the bat, then they have to have the free version. That number ticks up by one. Okay, that's interesting. Yeah,
that's the ideal way to do it.
Yeah, that's fascinating. That was actually not something which was mentioned in the article. We'll just quickly pop that back on the screen because it's interesting. Go and read it. There's a whole lot more to what Nick is saying than what we've described here. You can see I've highlighted a load of stuff, but there's a bunch of stuff that you a bare minimum should do. As Taco said, build it and they will come is no longer true. But I think it's fair to say that if you don't do the bare minimum of what he's suggesting, why not do? Given that the algorithm is publicly available, why not just do what the algorithm wants you to do? Okay, so there we go. That was that piece. Right, let's press on. No, I'm going to miss that one out for this week. Okay, I don't know what the heck happened, but this week it seems like everybody, wanted an event in the next few days. So normally when I do this, there's an event happening somewhere or other, maybe one, maybe there's two, but this week it's a bit nuts. So if you're in the WordPress space, doesn't matter where you are on the globe, there's probably something happening close by to you. So we'll just go through a few of these. And any notion that WordPress events are dead is clearly... Dead. Well, yeah, it's just not the case. Although maybe in certain jurisdictions, certain parts of the world, locales, it's a little bit more dead than others. So here we go. Firstly, WordCamp Asia, which is happening next year, 2026. I believe it's April. April in Mumbai. They released their first tranche of tickets. There's a whole thing about that. Like, is that just silly? Why don't we all just get access to all the tickets in one go? I see both sides. But anyway, the first tranche of tickets sold out within an hour. So woohoo, that's great. Amazing. So watch out. If you want to grab your pass next time it comes, maybe, go and check it out sooner rather than later.
I really think they should do something special for those who got their tickets in the first pass.
Yeah, maybe you should get like a Wapoo or something.
Oh, yeah, or or something like that, just to celebrate those early supporters of WordCamp Asia.
You kind of got to imagine they were like just sort of sitting with their button, just like refreshing constantly. Have you ever done that? Have you ever like installed a Chrome extension or something like that that constantly refreshes a certain page so that at the exact moment that it goes live? In the UK, I do that for Wimbledon tickets. When the Wimbledon lottery opens, it's like, you gotta get in there right away. Otherwise, you don't stand
on six
chance.
Computers, IP addresses.
And they immediately spot that you're trying to poll it from six different computers on the same IP address and block you. It's like, oh! Right, okay, so there's that. There we go, WordCamp Asia. The next tranche of tickets, maybe next week, I don't know when they'll come about, but hopefully fairly soon. Next one, this is an online one, so this is not an in-person one, but very importantly, the WordPress WP Accessibility Day happening, I want to say, it is on...
15th and the 16th of October.
Yeah.
Wednesday, if you're listening early enough.
Yeah. So happening a 24-hour online event. The content has been pre-recorded so that it's been, hopefully the best version of everybody's presentation will be coming your way. You can sign up for free. I believe there might still be some sponsorship slots available. Certainly you can get your ticket and you can watch live captioning, live, what else is there?
ESL interpreter.
Thank you. Yeah. At great expense, I might add. I don't think that stuff comes cheap. So bravo.
You're not wrong.
Yeah, bravo for doing that. So that's happening this week.
And tickets are free, Nathan. So
yes.
You can learn all about accessibility for free. However, there's a donate button. So if you want to help us, organize this event, then your donation is very much appreciated.
Nice. Yeah, thank you so much. Normally that would be where we kind of stop, but here we go. Not this week, sorry. Here we go. So the WP Agency Forum, which is happening in Madrid, that's happening on also on the 15th, Madrid, Spain, I should say. So there's another one. Also on the 15th. this is the 15th to the 17th, though. This is a little bit longer. Is WordCamp Canada or WordCamp A. That's happening. There's a whole, you know, like it's multiple track, big, kind of like a flagship event, really. One of the bigger ones. And then just to add in something to that, Matt Mullenweg, it says breaking here. So I'm guessing that this is like something that which wasn't a couple of weeks ago intended to happen. But yep. Matt Mullenweg is now going to do a town hall. I don't actually know what a town hall is, but is it like a panel kind of thing where you just
taking questions?
Taking questions.
Q&A, ask me anything.
So that's new. I don't know where they managed to squeeze him in on the itinerary. But anyway, Matt will be there. So if you've got any questions for Matt, that will be happening. So that's the 15th to the 17th. Are we over? Oh, no, not yet. So WordCamp Islamabad. Guess which day it's starting? Could it be the 15th? Yes, it is. It's the 15th of October. No, it's not.
Oh, the
18th. Yeah, darn it. Yeah. But still, this week, WordCamp Islamabad. It's a three-day one, so I'm guessing it's, you know, pretty big, maybe multi-track, I'm not sure. WordCamp Dakar, which is on the same date. So I don't know how the whole visa thing works in that part of the world, whether it's easy for people from Bangladesh to get to Pakistan and vice versa. But, you know, it doesn't matter now because there's two events for you to. You can go in Bangladesh to WordCamp Dakar or WordCamp Islamabad if you're in Pakistan. Also, the 18th to the 19th of October. Are we done? Are we heck? WordCamp Guatemala. The 18th. So it seems like the 15th and the 18th are very important days for this one. That's happening. And I can't tell you where it's happening because I don't know. But anyway, it's in Guatemala somewhere. Apologies for not being as prepared as I should be.
University of Galileo.
Yeah. But where is that?
In, if you scroll down a little bit, there's an address behind below the image.
Okay.
It's here. In Guatemala City.
There you go, Guatemala City. Okay, thank you so much. So that's happening. Are we done? Nearly. We're nearly done. I think this is the last one. Is it the last one? Yeah, it's the last one. And WordCamp, word that I can't say, Skopje, is happening on the 18th. So if your birthday is on the 15th or the 18th of October this year, then, Nobody's paying attention.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, we're all off the WordCamp. So, like we keep talking about events in decline. When you look at something like that, maybe they're in decline at other parts of the year, but that is a boatload of things going on in the WordPress community. I think I just rattled through about 7 or 8 events all happening this week. I have no idea, though, why this week. What is it about October?
There was at least one last weekend as well. WordCamp Helsinki.
Okay.
Suomi, I think they call it.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, that's right. But I don't know why this time. Like, is it like, what's going on?
So if you look at the schedule, there's two times a year where there's a lot of events.
Okay.
And this is October, late September, early October is the perfect time because everyone's back from summer vacation. You have a couple of weeks for your last minute organizing stuff, and then you can do the event before Halloween, Thanksgiving, holidays, and all of that. So it's in that little few weeks that there's no big events happening and everyone's back from summer vacation.
Okay.
We'll see the same in March, April, May. After New Year's, winter's nearly over. And then before summer, you also see a couple of weeks where there's a huge spike in events. So it's twice a year, every year.
Yeah, interesting. So this time and sort of beginning, well, yep, first third of next year, something like that. Yep. Okay, well, there you go. I know that in my part of the world, events are sort of few and far between, but, you know, there's a whole load of things to choose from right there. So hopefully there's something near you. Right. Okay. I just want to mention this one. I'm not going to go into a deep dive, but I know that page builders are a popular thing. Block suites that tackle, you know, all of the bits and pieces that Gutenberg Core does not have. There's loads of them. So we're looking at a few on this page here. So you may have heard of some of these. There's things like Cadence, we mentioned earlier, Generate Blocks, GutenKits, the Spectra, there's coming soon. I don't think it's out yet, but there's Etch, was a new kid on the block, and then Stackable and things like that.
You know what I noticed looking at these? Mm. One of them has a nice mascot.
Oh, and it's right in the middle. Oh, yeah.
Like three or four of them have identical logos.
Yeah.
Couldn't tell them apart. That's one of them instantly memorable. Has a Otter Blocks, I think.
Otter Blocks, look at that. Yeah, he's got a nice little otter. The only thing they've done wrong is they haven't made the otter big enough. I think the otter needs to occupy more of that square. But yeah, well spotted, and I appreciate that. That's brilliant. This is David McCann's website. It's called Dynamic WP. He's got a thriving Facebook group, and he has taken it upon himself to measure the performance of third-party blocks and compare it to Core. Honestly, I'm not going to go into the technical details of it, but he lays out in this post the process that he went through to test them and, you know, what metrics he was looking out for on the other side. It's a little bit like the Amber Hines one that we did a couple of weeks ago, where Amber talked about page builders in terms of accessibility. It's a similar take, but this is on the performance side of things, and he compares the pro version, the light version of each of them, and draws some conclusions. So without revealing anything, I'll just drop that in. It's called Performance of Third-Party Blocks and Core Compared. And somewhere, there it is, somewhere there's a video, 15-minute video, if you want to see what he's up to. And
I think the only downside of this research that he did is that he didn't use an actual page. I mean, for testing, he used a page with just a header and a single block, but this is not production ready, what it would look like if you had a full page built using those blocks.
Yeah, it's interesting. So, yeah.
I'm not sure what the value of the comparison is actually.
Oh, okay. Because of the content, you would have preferred a more kind of like feature-rich, I don't know, a few videos thrown in there and a few images and the headers and paragraphs and a variety of different things. Yeah.
Yeah, which is way harder to compare because, you might not be able to build the exact same page using all of these block suites. But right now, it's sort of a theoretical bare minimum, but not something you would actually use in production.
Yeah, it's curious. I wonder how much overlap there is. So as an example, some of the ones that I know, so like, for example, Cadence and Stackable and Generate Blocks, they have some overlap. Generate Blocks has only got about four different blocks that it does, whereas Cadence ships with dozens, Stackable ships with dozens. And so that it would be hard to do a direct comparison feature by feature because some of them have and some of them have not. But yeah, okay, good point.
Yeah, but that might also be the downside with this research because maybe Cadence loads a little bit more right off the bat.
Yep.
But doesn't add any extras the more blocks you use where the others might. And then Cadence might come out way better if you have a full page instead of just a few test blocks.
When Amber did her accessibility test, she started it in 2024. So there was one version last year and there was one version this year. Based upon the feedback that she got, as well as intuitions of her own, she amended this year's survey to be very, very different from last year's one. So maybe David will turn this one into a sort of an annual thing. What's fascinating about this is you've captured 10 audiences with one post. You know, there are 10 different audiences who are kind of keen to read this and compare to the other one. So I think maybe, hopefully, this will drive a lot of traffic to his website and make it worth worth doing again. I did reach out to him, see if he wants to talk about it on a podcast. We'll see if he gets back to me. And if he does, then we'll mention that soon. But yeah, there it is. Performance of third-party blocks and core compared. Anything from Steve or Mark before we move on? No. Okie doke. Right, not too much left. Couple of pieces. This is the first one. Nick Diego, who until very recently was a developer relations person at Automattic. He's now been moved inside of Automattic, and I want to make sure I get his new job description right. Product marketing team is how he's working. He's in the product marketing team at WordPress.com, and it says where I'll be focusing on how we support and connect with developers and builders. Obviously, it goes without saying, Nick, I hope that role works out well with you and for you. This piece that he's talking about, though, is about Blueprints and WP or WordPress Studio. I'll put a fuller version because this is on nickdiego.com. But then he also wrote a piece, obviously, this is his new job at WordPress.com, where he explains about it. This seems so cool. I absolutely love this. So if you haven't used it, Studio is, I want to say Automattic. Is it an Automattic thing or is it? Is it an Automattic thing?
Yep.
So you download it on your Mac, on your Windows PC, what have you, and it enables you to create a version of WordPress, a little bit like something like Local does. But the difference is that it uses Playground. So instead of having a whole ton of complicated technology holding it together, this is very complicated technology largely built into the browser, so it's using Playground to do that. And up until recently, if you started up a site, you had limits on what you could do, you know, templates and things that you could build a site from. However, we now in Studio 1.6.0 have got this idea of blueprints, and blueprints allow you to basically build out a site in whichever way you like. And then in a theme.json file, you specify what that site is like. So, for example, you bundle it with a bunch of different plugins and what have you. And then when you build it in Playground, you tell it, I've got this blueprint, and then it will build an identical replica. So it's kind of like other tools have got it. They make the point. I don't know how true this is because I don't really understand the technicalities of it. I'll just read this bit. So Nick says, other local development tools often rely on full site snapshots, which can be large, hard to share, and locked into a single environment. Yeah, that all scans. Studio blueprints, by contrast, are portable and declarative. It's a single JSON file, which you can reproduce the same site and set up on any machine instantly. That makes it more flexible for teams, easier to keep in sync, and more powerful for testing and iteration. So the only question I had, and Taco, I think, answered it, I wasn't sure whether you could bring along pro plugins for the ride, if you know what I mean. Because obviously, if it's just a theme JSON file, presumably it, for repo things, you're just pointing to the repo URL or something like that, and it'll go and install it as part of the onboarding. But obviously, if you've got a pro one, how would it know where that, maybe you can copy and paste that into a field somewhere. Anyway.
It depends on how your distribution for your premium product set up, but it is possible.
But this, like, it, I don't know, like, as an example, main WP with all of its, like, I don't know how many you've got, let's say 20 plus different extensions, just your own product. Presumably, there are certain scenarios where, okay, you'd want these 5, but not these 15. You'd want these 8, but not these 12. Mm-hmm. With this blueprint thing, you can ship this for people to test in a heartbeat, so that they could check out different variations of your platform. Same for Publish Press. You know, you want this thing enabled and not that thing. Okay, here's a version just tailored just for you. It's kind of interesting. It's just a file. It's just a JSON file. It's kind of brilliant.
Yeah, I mean, that's what most plugins use for, like, importing and exporting all their settings, right?
Yeah. But this one, I guess, builds it from the ground up. So you could have this as like a trial website, or I presume if you're an agency or something, I don't know, and you've got a range of like 3 or 4, 5 or 6 things that you constantly deploy every time you build something new. Now you can. So that underlying technology is just there for you to build. Pretty cool. And all happening in Playground. So basically all happening inside the browser, which is just phenomenal.
I know that. I know that when we had once again bringing up ServerPress, when we had blueprints for a desktop server, that was one of the most popular features. Was right. That ability to do exactly that. So to be able to do that on a playground site is pretty awesome.
But then to like, if you think about it, you could basically email a site. You could just send somebody with a JSON attachment the entire site. I mean, obviously, you know, I don't know how deep you can get into the configuration of different things and what have you, but you know, here's a JSON file, click this link, download Studio, chuck it in there. There you go. That's your site. That's what we've proposed.
Yeah. And even better than emailing is that you can now do version control on those blueprints.
Yeah.
Because it's just a JSON file. You can store them in GitHub.
Sure. Right.
And have full version control on this is what changed at this date. And
yeah. Very, very nice. Anyway, it's all available. Now, this piece was called, let me just pop it back on the screen, Introducing Blueprints in WordPress Studio 1.6.0. As I said, I'm not sure how the whole premium plugin works, but it does sound like Taco thinks it's totally possible. So that's great.
Well, and the interesting thing, I think it was mentioned either here or in Nick's article, is that it's the same blueprint that you use for Playground, you can also use for Studio.
Right.
So you can build it up locally, test it locally, and then share the JSON file with someone halfway across the world who can either use that on his local machine or can load that same blueprint into Playground and just try it on a web browser.
Okay, so that opens up. So literally just, okay, here it is. Just click a button and 10 seconds, well, probably a bit more if you've got a few plugins that need to be downloaded. But you can just try it out in the browser. It doesn't have to be through Studio. So you don't even need Studio. You need Studio to construct it, I guess. And then you'd export this JSON file and then you can just send that and somebody
can
use it.
Send it to your customer with a Playground link using that blueprint and they can have their demo online. Gosh,
it's voodoo. We're living in very interesting times. Absolutely amazing. Comment about that from Mark. Mark says, presumably you need to use Studio for local development though. So that was what I was just thinking. You would need to build it in Studio, I'm guessing, to get that export. I'm not sure. But that was my initial thought. And then presumably share the link, as Taco said. In terms of it being portable from developer to developer, yes. Yeah, let's see. Let's all have a collective play and see what...
Well, if you're really good, you can just write the JSON off the top of your head and you don't need Studio.
This is just the sort of thing I do in my sleep, Taco. I often find myself waking up in the morning fully fleshed out JSON file.
Do you dream in JSON, Nathan?
Occasionally, I more tend to dream in just... BS. You know, wake up in the morning and I've dreamt about.
How portable is that BS?
Very difficult to get out of my head, to be honest, Mark. It's nobody wants to examine the content of my dreams. They're interesting. Private. Let's say that. What did you say?
They're private.
Yeah, very private. Yeah. The day will come, though. Neuralink is about to change all of that. It won't be long. Right, new product time. Let's talk about this one. It's not really new. I guess if you're in the WordPress space, here's another company, a bit like Astra that you were saying, Steve, a little while ago. I feel like this company is hot on the heels of Astra. Brainstormforce is the company behind all that. This is WP Managed Ninja and their Fluent suite of products. They've got a new one. New in the sense that it's about to launch tomorrow, I think. But not new in the sense that they've been marketing it for quite some time and, you know, touting its features and what have you. I won't say a great deal about it because I don't know a great deal about it. But if the marketing hype lives up to the actual what's in the product, it does seem like a really credible kind of WooCommerce shortcut alternative. It's called FluentCart. It launches tomorrow. I don't know anything about the pricing, but very often in the past, they've come out with a lifetime deal, which... you know, they have for 2 weeks or something like that to encourage people to purchase it. So maybe that's going to happen again. But, you know, they're a totally credible company. And I think one of the things which will win people over is they've got this ecosystem. You know, they've got the forms, they've got the CRM, they've got all of these different bits and pieces which just sort of hang together. Anyway, launching very, very soon. But I don't know what the success will be. I know that, you know, moving from one e-com platform to another is going to be difficult. So they claim to have taken care of that. There's a little bit down here somewhere. I can't remember where, but they make the point that they kind of have taken on the onboarding process. Maybe it's a seamless migration. Says switching from your current platform to FluentCart is as simple as adding to the plugin to your site. Configuration is simple and migration is just one click away. Who knows whether or not they'll fulfill on that promise. Daveden also. Yeah, join the club, Daveden. It's just me and you, mate. We're doing JSON in our site. Imagine if that was true. Daveden, if it in fact is true that you write JSON on your sleep, I have no words. I don't know what to say. Love to see what you build. No, I'm not doing that. Anything on FluentCart before we move on? We've only got a couple of minutes.
It's nice to see more stuff happening in the e-commerce space after Shopify launched their plugin a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, they make the point that this is all inside your WordPress database. And honestly, though, don't you think they've got this marketing totally down pat? I mean, look, they've got all these influencers, let's go with that, who've already made video content about the plugin. So they kind of built it, given it to the people who can, you know, make people's eyeballs turn to it. They've already created like full walkthroughs of the whole thing. The hype is real already, and they're going to launch it tomorrow. And here am I talking about it. They've done such a great job of launching this. Let's hope that it's as good as is claimed. The other bits and pieces were about hosting. And honestly, I think with the time that we've got available, I won't really get into them other than to say that this is beyond my pay grade. There's a thing called the Hosting Alliance's Trust Seal. And Ray from the repository mentions the fact that there's this kind of like self-certified hosting certificate called the Hosting Alliance, and there's this Trust Seal program. I haven't got time to go into it, but I'll just say go and check it out. There are 10 hosts that are now sporting this badge. They are 20i, Altus Host, Big Scoots, Black Knight, Dream Host, Green Olive Tree, Hostinger, Raxmark, Shark Tech, and SiteGround. They are the inaugural recipients. So you can read what Ray says all about that and judge for yourself whether or not that's something that you want to pay attention to when you get your next host. Okay, that's all that I've got, I think, unless anybody wants to talk about that one very quickly. No, thought not. Okay, that's perfect. We're about 1 minute away from when we should finish, so that's absolutely ideal. Thank you so much if you joined us. What have we got? Oh, a couple of things just dropped in. Daveden says, the big product suites I use these days are WP Social Ninja, that's Fluent, Brainstorm Force, sure, and Bit Plugins. Okay, interesting to know. Thank you for that. When you have Paul, WP Tuts, you've gotten a bit of success already. Yeah, I don't know what his audience now is. I think his YouTube channel is like a couple of 100,000, maybe more. It's huge, 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 huge. And there's a comment by a chap here called Mark Benzocaine. No idea if we knew this, but I'll just leave that one.
Yeah, I was just addressing Courtney's comments in the chat.
So. Okay, in which case, it only remains for me to say thank you if you wrote a comment. I really appreciate it. But of course, thank you to Taco over there. Thank you. Thank you to Mark over there. And I got it wrong. It's been so, I can't do it. I don't even know where to. Steve's over there somewhere. Yeah. Taco, help me out. Where's Steve?
You're over there.
No, Steve's below you, surely.
Steve's here.
Yeah, Steve. Yeah.
Mark's there.
Yeah.
And I'm
I can do you and I can do Mark. For some reason, my head won't do. Ah, oh, there.
Right in the middle.
There you go. There you go.
Yes.
Yeah. There he is. That was honestly, I'm getting older.
Stop. Did we get through the whole podcast without telling you your eyeball story?
No. Nobody wants to hear that. I have an eyeball story.
All right. I have a great coordination thing for you guys all to try.
Okay.
This is going to be great.
Yeah. Lovely.
Okay. You can do this, right?
Yeah.
Oh boy.
But can you do this?
Is that the other way?
Yeah.
The other way.
Oh, wait.
No, that's the same direction.
Wait, hang on. I'll get one.
There's this way, and then there's this way.
Is that this?
Yeah. Should do it with the hands.
I totally can't do it. I can't do it.
It's so hard.
Okay. Okay. This is not a coordination thing. Okay. Everybody do that. Just one hand. Right. And then do that. Oh, Taco can do it. Mark can do it. Can anybody do this, though? Can you go 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2?
I can do this.
1, 2.
No.
Yeah, I can do that one. Yeah. What the heck happened to us? Oh, God. Totally derailed at the end.
I was totally expecting you would go do one hand, do yeah, the other hand, and the other. And okay,
so do this. Let's... Can anybody actually? Oh, I'm so sorry, Steve. Oh, Steve can do it too.
There you go.
That's perfect. It's like live long and prosper, everybody.
Look like lobsters.
Yeah, that's exactly what it's like. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much. Have a great day, everybody. We will see you soon. If the three of you want to stick around for a bit, stick around, and we will we'll have a chat after this has ended. Take care. See you later.
Right.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye.